Good morning. How are we doing today? All right. Good deal. Okay, just a couple of extra things other than what you find in your bulletin. Got a thank you note from the Rayfelds. Appreciate our time here and your folks' friendliness to them and your offering for them. You might continue to pray for them as they're traveling pretty much every week. Visiting some of their supporting churches and reporting back to them. So they'll have a lot of miles on them between now and I think it's in October or first part of November, somewhere in there. So they appreciate that. Okay, today, after the morning service, we have a short business meeting, but we want to kind of keep you up to date what's going on around here. There is a financial report in your mailbox if you haven't picked it up, but we'll go over that and just share a couple other things, so hopefully you can stick around for that. What's coming up, folks? Another opportunity to eat.
Mother's Day,
right? Okay, so yeah, Easter sometimes and Mother's Day ends up being a little bit close. But everybody seems to enjoy it, so you can put yours in later so you don't have to fling it back and hit somebody else like that. Well, we won't leave you out. We'll sign you up for something.
Okay.
I don't know if this is good, bad, or otherwise, but I got these in the mail and thought maybe somebody wanted to take advantage of it. There's a circus coming to town, and it's going to be over State Fair Park. It's one of these deals where, you know, each adult can take a child in free, so the child's free. But anyway, and it's May 5, 6, 7. I'll just leave them up here if you want to take one or whatever you can use there. All right. Okay. Let's see. I guess maybe that's okay. And this week, our Wednesday night Bible study, we're looking at another one of the names of God, Adonai. And when you really know God, and trust that you'll consider coming out and being part of that. We try to keep it right at an hour for the time, the Bible study and the prayer time. So I encourage you to come out for that. The other thing you might be planning for, put on your calendar, May 6th. That's, I believe that's the first Saturday there in May. So we got a church work day. Try to get the windows cleaned and all the other stuff around here. It needs sprucing up a little bit after the winter. We try to go from 8 till noon, turn you loose. We're usually done before that. But next week, I guess, we'll put a sheet in your either mailbox or your bulletin to see what all that we're trying to accomplish. Here's something that's been laying around for a while. Silly me. I guess I'm not up on jewelry. But anyway, I thought this was some girl's little bracelet or something, but apparently you flip it over and you hang it on a button and it's somebody's tie thing. So that, okay.
Been looking for that. Okay. Boys been laying around and I've been asking the ladies if this is one of your daughter's necklace or bro.
Yeah, okay, all right. Okay. I don't have one of those. Does that mean I quit wearing one? Okay, good enough then. I think we're all ready to sing, and Bob's going to come and lead us. Number 95 to start with.
All right, guys, good morning. We're going to turn to 95, and we'll just sing the whole thing because it's just a couple lines. Why don't you stand with us? So now turn to 357, Jesus Loves Even Me. We'll sing all three verses, 357.
Jesus.
As I sent out an email, I mentioned to you folks that this message today is an evangelistic message. And some might think, why are you preaching that to us? We are already believers. And I had somebody ask me about that here a while back. And I never know who's going to be here when I'm starting that. I don't just walk up there and decide what I'm going to preach. And so I've been working on that through the week. But also, and this is statistics that I'm not trying to bore you or impress you or nothing, but sometimes we don't realize maybe who else might be listening. And so I pulled off, this one doesn't give all the details. Sometimes it's kind of interesting to see who's listening in different states. And there's even some, I have no idea where they're right now, where they're at, but even some foreign countries, maybe it's our missionaries that are listening in, I don't know. But it says that we got 618 sermons online, and they've played 4,939 times. And so some of them, it's like they're watching it, and so they're viewing the video of it. Other ones are just listening. And I believe this next one's the listening bunch, or maybe it's the other way around. But all-time viewers, it was talking about 2,255. And videos played, 8,368. So the thing is, there's a lot of other people that are listening. And how many of them maybe need to hear the gospel that we don't know? And thinking about, you know, why aren't we glad that we heard the gospel somewhere along the line, whether it was in a church and a pastor preaching? You say, well, yeah, I know that. Well, that's good. But maybe there's something there. And this outline today is kind of lengthy, but it's pretty much complete. You can almost fill in the blanks. There's motivation for you. Fill in the blanks and give it to somebody. And it's almost like a tract. So tell them how they can get to heaven. So you might keep that in mind instead of yawning. I remember I had a funeral one time, and I'm starting to share the gospel. And it was a small group, you know, so people would say things. And, oh, you can skip that. We already know that. Well, I didn't skip it because I figured he needed it. He just didn't want to hear about it. And so we're going through John, and as we go through John, it's going to talk about that, about being born again. So that's what we're talking about here today. Okay, so I don't always give explanations of why we're preaching what, but today you got it. Okay, now can you play through that once? You've probably heard Maureen playing this. Now we're getting the words to go with it, but this is a kind of a new song for us, probably. Go ahead. Try to start together, and maybe we'll all end when the music stops. Okay. All right. So let's try this. Always the same. Oh. Did you notice that? Where's it at? Anyway, when my, not why, okay. It's a joke in our family. They can, if I write a text, they can always tell it's from me, even if it doesn't show up my name, because there's something misspelled in there somewhere. So. At least I'm consistent. I do it that with the slides too. So. Okay, all right, one more. This is a short one, but let's stand together. Okay. There's something about that name. Did that sign-up sheet make it across the aisle? Okay, good enough. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your care over us today. We thank you for each one here. Thank you for getting down and joining back safely with us. We pray for others that may not be with us for one reason or another, not feeling well. We pray you'll continue to strengthen and help Tammy as she's getting adjusted to the new knee and the exercises that goes along with that, along with Margie a bit ahead of her. Ralph recuperating from the surgery on his leg and getting that repaired. We pray your continued strengthening for Joy, that she might soon be up and moving about in a normal way. I give those that are working with her the wisdom and skill to help. We ask you, help us to focus in on your word now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As I mentioned, that outline today is probably a little overdone, but and I expect you to, you probably, I don't know how you guys follow along or don't, Let me help you out just a little bit. Open it up on the right side. You see the number 2? Okay. And if you want to write in there, the Spirit, to be born of the Spirit, and then down a little bit, that from birth we were all dead in trespasses and sin. So then you can just kind of sit back and listen, and we'll let you know when we get to the back side of that, okay? All right, so Billy Graham, he tells of a time early on in his ministry when he had arrived into a small town. He was going to be preaching there at some meetings, and he arrived a little bit early, and this is back when people actually wrote letters. They didn't pull out their tablet or something and send off a text or something. But he got the letter written, and he thought he had time to go mail it before the services. And so he went out wherever he was staying, and there's a little boy on the sidewalk out there. And he asked him if he could tell him how to get to the post office. And so the little boy gave him some directions. And Mr. Graham thanked him. And he said, if you'll come to the Baptist church this evening, you can hear me tell everybody how to get to heaven. Little boy says, I don't think I'll be there. He says, you don't even know how to find the post office, let alone get to heaven. Ooh. Well, there's a tragedy out there today. A lot of churches, a lot of people sitting in churches, and not just because it doesn't say Baptist on the outside. I'm not trying to say that, but there are a lot of them. People sitting in churches, church members, church leaders that don't know how to get to heaven. And the Bible tells us clearly, and we're going to be looking at that here today. But here in John chapter 3, we see that Jesus is talking to a religious leader of his day by the name of Nicodemus. And in their conversation, Jesus is explaining to this, again, religious leader, exactly how a person can go to heaven. And in that passage today, he tells us three things that we want to kind of pay attention to here today. And again, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he wants him to be saved. He wants him to be born again and to go to heaven. And so he provides some directions for that. And so we see the first thing here he tells him is that ye must be born again. And we're there in John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, and there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, that came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, and we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no other man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, we don't hear that phrase born again too much anymore. It was kind of used a lot when Jimmy Carter was president. We don't hear it as much as we used to. But it's a biblical term. And it's something that we need to understand. And it's kind of interesting as we look at this. Again, Nicodemus, he was a religious man. And according there to Scripture, he was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader of his day. A separatist, one that would keep himself from those things that would make him unclean, and disobedient to the Lord. And so the Pharisees, they stayed away from the liquor. They stayed away from immorality and anything else that would somehow defile them according to the Old Testament law. And so he was one of the most religious people of his day. And in, as we look a little bit further on in this chapter, there in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Well, he was a master teacher, if you will. He was a teacher of the law. And he's teaching other people. But in spite of his religious credentials, Jesus is still telling him, This is what you need to do in order to get to heaven. And thing is, Jesus knew what was going on in Nicodemus's heart and mind. He knew that Nicodemus didn't know. Okay? He wasn't just telling him something that he already knew. And so there are a lot of people in America today that are expecting to get to heaven. And yet, because they're following a set of rules, religious rules or principles of some kind. They go to church on Sunday. They don't lie, cheat, steal, drink, do drugs, have immoral relationships, and on goes the list. But Jesus is telling us this morning here that religion is not enough to get you to heaven. And clean living in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with clean living, but that's not going to get you in, okay? And there's only one way to get into heaven. It's God's heaven, and so we got to do it God's way. We may not like it, you know, people want to do it their own way, but God says if we're going to do it, we got to do it his way. And Jesus gave pretty clear indication what that is. He says there in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, not one of the ways, but the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so he's telling Nicodemus here much the same thing. He says there in verse 7 of John 3, marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. And so he's telling, this is what you need to do. And that wasn't happening just by Nicodemus being a religious person. We see, secondly, that Nicodemus was a popular man. In fact, the name Nicodemus means liked or popular. And so here we got a man who's well known. He's respected by the community. He's popular. He's recognized as a spiritual leader. And so Nicodemus would be the kind of man that mothers might point to their children and say, there's a role model. That's somebody you could follow after. And so he's popular, but popularity doesn't save you. And being recognized as a Christian by other people doesn't save you either. And so being recognized as a spiritual leader doesn't save you, and it doesn't get you into heaven. But being born again is not something that you gain by being popular. We see another thing about Nicodemus here, the fact that he was a prestigious man. According to verse 1, again, he was a ruler of the Jews. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was like the Jewish Supreme Court of his day. And this man, in a sense, had, at least in the eyes of people, had kind of made it to the top of the ladder in the eyes of society. He was a man of religion. He had a great position. He was popular. And yet all of that was not going to save him. And the thing is, and some people say, what? But you can come to church, you can come to Sunday school, you can come to prayer meeting, you can lead a Sunday school class, you could even be a pastor or a deacon, you can read your Bible, you can pray, you can witness, and practice various spiritual disciplines and still be lost. So how's that possible? You can do all these things and yet not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And being born again is not about human efforts. You can be religious. You can have an important position. You can be popular, prestigious, and still be empty. And I believe that's why Nicodemus was there to see Jesus. He realized something was lacking in his life. And so he was an empty man. And we see that that's a problem with religion today. Many religions tell you that you need to work or you need to serve. You need to be baptized. You need to continue to work for your salvation. You need to do a lot of good deeds and follow the Ten Commandments, because in their mind, that's the way of salvation. There are two problems with this kind of thinking. One is it's not biblical. That's not what the Bible tells us. That's what man's come up with on his own. And secondly, your religion is going to leave you cold and void and empty. You're not going to be satisfied. You're never going to know, have I done enough to get me in? Okay? And it's sad to say, but there are thousands of church members and probably some preachers and deacons throughout this United States that are very religious, but empty. Thing is, as you think about religion, religion depends on you and what you do instead of Jesus and what he's done. And with religion, every time that you sin, it's kind of like you got to start all over again, you know? It's like some game board, you know? You get on that square and you got to go back to the starting gate and start all over again. And again, that's not what the Bible teaches, but it's what man has come up with. And so it's kind of an endless, vicious cycle that keeps you on the track headed for hell. You think you're doing really good, but you might be in the eyes of man, but it doesn't match up with Scripture. And so the devil likes you to be on that track, to be on that road, working hard for your salvation, because he knows you're on the wrong track. And eventually you're going to end up with him. And the Bible tells us, though, clearly, that it's salvation is not of works. Excuse me. Familiar verses to many of you, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Tells us, for by grace are you saved. God's undeserved favor, that we are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. And verse 9 says, about as clear as you can get, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, if we were to go on to verse 10, it tells us, talks about good works, but good works come after you've trusted Christ for salvation. You don't try to do the good works first, thinking that's going to get you to heaven. And so I believe Nicodemus is tired of living like that. He's tired of depending on what he's doing or not doing. And because of that, he comes up searching for Jesus. And he knew there was something missing in his life. He was tired of trying to work for his salvation and obeying all these endless sets of rules. As I understand it, you know, they took the Ten Commandments and kind of blew them up. And they end up with something like 600 different do's and don'ts. Keeping all that straight and then trying to follow them must have been near impossible to do. And so Nicodemus comes to the Lord Jesus. He's not satisfied with his religion as he knows it. And again, religion tends to just be a list of rules, do's and don'ts. And that's not what we need. What we need is a relationship. A relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a Savior. And so Nicodemus makes the right decision when he goes to Jesus, and we make the right decision ourselves when we come to Jesus. And so if you're listening today and you're trying your best, you know, have you talked to people? Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Well, I'm doing the best I can. Well, that might impress some people, but it doesn't impress God. And so we can't work our way. We try to live a sinless life. Anybody last week, you know, was a good boy, good girl? Anybody have a sinless life last week? No. It's not going to happen this side of heaven, right? And that's not God's way. If we could somehow live a sinless life, and we could get there by doing it ourselves, Jesus never would have had to come and die for us. The fact that we couldn't do it, he sent us a Savior, because we were lost and hopeless without it. And so the thing is, we need to come to Jesus and allow him to create in us a new person, right? He's going to change us from the inside out. And Jesus knew Nicodemus's heart, and so he challenges him. And he tells Nicodemus, first of all, he says, you need to be born again. Now, that creates some confusion. If it was a comic thing, there'd be a big question mark up over Nicodemus's head. He's trying to figure out, how's that supposed to happen? But we need to see, being born again is a relationship. It's not a religion. And we're born from above. And it's a relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about a new birth, a transformation. It's a divine work that God does in our hearts and lives. So let's consider about what this new birth is all about. And we see here what it means to be born again. We go back here in verse John 3, verse 4 and 5. It says, and Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so Nicodemus misunderstands what Jesus is saying. He's thinking physical. How can I, as a grown man, kind of back up and end up in my mother's womb again? It's impossible. Well, Jesus wasn't talking physical. He's talking spiritual, a spiritual birth. And so Jesus is talking to Nicodemus here that he had to be born again. And it was something that was going to happen spiritually, something supernatural. And again, it wasn't physical. And that's where Nicodemus is confused here. And he says, you're born from above. It's a transformation that takes place in your heart and life. When we surrender our hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, we trust him alone for our salvation. It's a spiritual act. And again, too many people are trying to make it a physical thing. And so they're trying to do physical things, good works, whatever, thinking that's what we've got to do to gain entrance into heaven. And but it's spiritual. It has to do with our hearts, has to do with our minds. And so Jesus goes on to explain this to him there in verse 5. Again, he says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So Jesus says, first of all, a person needs to be born of water. And reading this passage, some people think that he's talking about baptism. And there were people getting baptized in that day. John the Baptist was baptizing people and others. But it's baptism and water does not change anybody. There are some people who've been taught and told that if they baptize their babies, that's a sure ticket for them to get into heaven. And there's various explanations about how they explain that. But again, they're depending on that baptism to get them to heaven. And adults as well. It's kind of like you've got your ticket punched, now you can come on in if you got baptized. Again, that's man's idea. It's not God's idea. That's not what God's word is teaching here. And because baptism doesn't wash away your sins, you know? If that was the case, you know, we have a steps here, but we need steps on the other side. We just kind of go through every week, you know? But water doesn't change people's spiritual condition before God. It might make you a little cleaner, might make you smell a little better, but it doesn't change your spiritual condition. And it is a matter of obedience. I look at it as a first step after a person trusts Jesus Christ as Savior, person ought to be baptized. For me, it was quite a delay in there, okay? But that probably shouldn't have happened that way. But the thing is, it's a matter of obedience. And that baptism, it has to be done the right way too. It doesn't matter. I know I've shared all these stories with you before, but there was a little church outside of town when we were in Minnesota. It was a community church. And I thought, what do community churches teach? So what do you do about baptism? you know, and I asked the preacher, he said, well, it's whatever the people want. If they want sprinkled, we sprinkle. If they want poured, we poured. If they want immersed, we immerse. Whatever you want. You know. Well, isn't there a right way? Well, yeah, there is. And this is a message on baptism, but it's talking about immerse, okay? Where you go down into the water, you're identifying with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection as you come back up out of that water. And so that's a matter of obedience, but that's not the ticket to get you into heaven. And I don't believe that this water they're talking about is for baptism anyway. I think he's talking about the physical birth that you and all of us went through coming into this world. We don't remember it. Your mom may have told you about it, but your mom's water broke, and hopefully you were born soon after that, okay? That was our physical life. We came here through water, if you will. That was our physical birth. Now we need to be born again spiritually. And physical birth gave us physical life. Spiritual birth gives us spiritual life. And again, that's why we need to be born again spiritually. And he tells us there again in verse 5 that we need to be born of water and of the Spirit. And so he goes on to tell us that we need to be born of the Spirit. And the reason, again, is when we were born physically, we were born with a sin nature, the tendency to sin. We need a new nature. And that happens when we're born again. And so we need to be born alive, born spiritually. We don't have to teach our kids to sin. You know, who's been in the cookie jar? You know, and they got crumbs all over their face. Not me, you know, or whatever else that they've been into. And the Bible tells us there in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, he says that we are spiritually dead coming into this world, all right? We may be alive physically, but we're dead spiritually. And that's why the unsaved person continues to struggle with sin, because spiritually they are dead. They have no power to give it up, okay? It's not just a matter of sure willpower. That's why the gambler keeps on gambling. And though their credit cards are maxed out and the checking account's overdrawn and a drunkard keeps drinking, even though his family may not have food on the table at home, the drug addict continues to shoot up or pop pills or whatever the case may be, even though it might kill him. Because the thief keeps on stealing. They're powerless because they are spiritually dead and they don't have the power. They need Jesus Christ to make them to be spiritually alive. And because we're dead spiritually, we need to be made alive, okay? And that's what this new birth is all about, being born again. And so we need a spiritual new birth. We need divine regeneration, if you want to refer to it that way. But it transforms us from the inside out. We may not look all that much different in the mirror to begin with, but God is doing a work in our hearts and minds. And this new birth doesn't just give us a makeover, okay? He changes us from the inside out. And he gives us a new heart, a new mind. He cleanses our soul, forgives our sin. He gives us a new destiny, okay? Our ticket into the future says heaven instead of hell. And only God can do that. He tells us there in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, and we are in Christ if we've trusted him as Savior, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. He changes us. And we see here that we all need this matter of being born again. He forgives our sin. He cleanses us. And the Holy Spirit comes to reside within our hearts and minds. And he transforms us. And he saves us from death and hell. He seals us. He guarantees our salvation. And he's able to break the sin chains that tend to bind us. And that's the nature of the new birth. Is that something that you possess? Now, maybe you didn't refer to it as being born again. Maybe you referred to it as being saved, and that tends to be the way we're usually referring to it nowadays. And that's true as well, because we have been saved. We've been saved from the power and the penalty and the punishment of sin to be spent in hell and ultimately the lake of fire, and to be eternally separated from God. We've been saved from all that. And so thing is, if we want to go to heaven when we die, we need to be saved. We need to be born again. And God has given us opportunities to do that while we still have life and breath. Folks, we don't know how much time we have. You say, well, I'm only X number age. Does that mean anything? Did you hear about that one poor gal there in Colorado? Somebody threw some kind of landscape rock through the window of her car and it killed her. They did that to throwing rocks at five different cars there in Colorado somewhere. I'm not trying to scare you from Colorado. That kind of person could be, you know, out here on I-94 or something. But, I mean, it's you're there 1 minute and gone the next. She was talking to a friend on the phone. And all of a sudden she wasn't talking. And she somehow used the GPS, figured out where she was at, went to that spot. She'd went off the road and was out in a field somewhere and found her dead in the car. And she was only 20-something. You know, horrible thing. But, I mean, it's you can be driving down the freeway nowadays, you know, and have somebody shooting at you. Oh, it was a mistaken identity or whatever, or road rage or, I mean, it doesn't matter. Thing is, we've got to be ready whenever the time is. And we can't put it off thinking, oh, I got lots of time. You don't know that. None of us do. And so Nicodemus, a bit confused about this born-again thing, a little bit surprised by it all. And, you know, he says there in verse, Jesus knows what's going on in his mind, and he tells him in verse 7, marvel not, don't be surprised, that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And he goes on to explain a little bit more. He says there in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. He's saying, you know, you can't see the wind. All you see is the after effects. You see the results of the wind blowing. The trees are moving, or the leaves are rustling, or whatever the case may be. And it's a supernatural thing. God's in charge of this. He's the one who makes it happen. God alone is able to give us new life, spiritual new life. And that needs, again, to happen to each and every one of us. And to help us to understand this a little bit, he goes on to say, on up into verse 14, he gives an illustration of this. He talks about an Old Testament account of Israel when they're out in the wilderness and they were involved in sin. And God sent in serpents to bite and ultimately to kill people is for their sin. And he tells Moses, okay, you need to make this bronze serpent and put it up on a pole. And everybody that looks out their tent and sees that, they're going to be saved. He says in verse 14, and Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so even must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus is lifted up on the cross. He was the one who was able to provide the salvation for them. And so as we look to Jesus, we too can be saved. We see there on in the verse 15 and 16, familiar verses to many, but sometimes that works against us. I know that verse. Well, and we don't stop and think about what's it really saying? Verse 15, and whosoever, that means anybody, everybody, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the key to being born again is trusting, believing in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And this was something that Nicodemus didn't know. He didn't understand that up to this point. He was very religious. He knew God's word, but he hadn't made it personal. He hasn't seen his need to trust in Jesus at that point as his Messiah. He had not entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if that's the case with us, we are lost. We're headed for hell. And the source of salvation is not religion, but is Jesus Christ. And as Jesus told Nicodemus, he says, you need to be born again. And this is what it means to be born again. It's a spiritual matter of being reborn. And it's not religion, but a relationship. So let's look, and this is on your back page now, how to be born again. And he talks about this. And we'll just read these verses here to begin with. He says there in verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And then we just read verse 15 and 16. Jesus explains this to him. And here's what we need. Here's what Nicodemus needed. This is what you and I need, and others that may be listening today, to realize this, to admit to it, and that is, you are a sinner. Now, I realize that may not be politically correct. It may not be something that we want to hear. We don't like the sound of that. But that's our condition before God, as the Bible tells us. He's being upfront with us. I mean, this is like the doctor coming to you and saying, you've got cancer or you've got some disease. And then he goes on to say, but we have a cure. Okay? But here's your condition. And the Bible tells us clearly, he says there in Romans 3:23, for all, that means all of us, okay? All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And, you know, some people, again, don't like, you know, think the sinner is somebody else. You know, that's some, you know, dregs of society out there. But no, it says we're all in that condition. And Romans 3:10 tells us pretty much the same things. That it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And so our condition before God is a sinner, before a holy God. And because of that sin, we can't go into heaven. We mess up heaven just like we've done to this earth. And so we got to get rid of our sin. Well, we've talked a little bit about this already, but we can't save ourselves. We got to get rid of the sin, and we can't do it, right? We need some help, and the help comes from the Lord. There's nothing by human effort that can remove our sin. Again, a lot of people have got this idea that somewhere out there, and whether it's at the gates of heaven or whatever, that there's some kind of divine balance scale, you know, and God's going to weigh our good works and he's going to weigh our bad works, and we're hoping the good works outweigh the bad, and so if that's the case, then we get in. Well, that may make sense to us, but it's not biblical. That's not what the Bible teaches. And there's no divine balance scale out there. And in fact, it tells us pretty much the opposite of that. Isaiah 64:6 tells us our righteousness, our good works, our righteous things that we're so proud of, he says, they're just like filthy rags, okay? And God's not impressed with those good things. Other people might, but God's not impressed with them. See, God requires absolute perfection, and none of us measure up to that. Jesus is the only one that lived a perfect life. And God is never going to be satisfied with our works in exchange for our salvation. And he views them as something that doesn't amount to much. And so we can't lean on that. Well, then we also need to recognize on the other side of this, from God's perspective, of God's infinite love, and he tells us this there in verse 16. Probably one of the first verses we ever learned, if we've memorized any Bible verses at all. And Jesus told Nicodemus that God so loved the world. He loved all the people of this world so much that he was willing to give up the best that he had, his own son, to die for us. And so God loved us enough to sacrifice his own son on the cross to provide what was needed for our salvation. The Bible tells us, as we've seen, the wages of sin is death. We deserve to die for our sins. And yet Jesus was willing to go to the cross and die in our place as our substitute. And he died for us. He took our punishment upon himself. Now, don't get the misunderstanding, well, Jesus died on the cross for me, so that's all taken care of. Now I get to go to heaven. No. He died for you, but you need to personally trust that he did it for you, for your sins, and that he's the one who's able to forgive your sin. And Jesus did everything that was necessary to provide for our salvation. What we need to do is to believe. And that's where we see that we need to repent. That means to turn, to do an about face, okay? For the sins that we used to like, we change our minds and we want to go in the opposite direction of that. We want to repent and we want to believe in Jesus as our Savior. And we no longer want to continue on in that way of life, that way of sin. It's not just a matter of dropping off some old bad habits, okay? It's a change of mind. We still have the capability of doing that, but we don't want to do it anymore. He changes us from the inside out. And so when Jesus is telling Nicodemus here that he needed to believe, that's what he says there in verse 16. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And believe in Jesus Christ for our salvation. Nothing else. Not in your baptism, your church membership, or anything else that you might have done along the way. But to totally rely on what Jesus did there on the cross some 2,000 plus years ago. And turn to Jesus Christ. He's the one who's able to forgive our sins and give us that gift of eternal life. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so as we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, we are born again. And we're given new life. We're given eternal life. And there in elsewhere in John chapter 9, there was the man that was born blind. And Jesus healed him. And when they ask him what happened, he says, "I can't really explain it all. You know, this one thing I know, that once I was blind, but now I see." We may not be able to explain how or everything that happens in the matter of being saved or being born again, but it's a work of God. He's changed us from sinner to saint. We were once lost, headed for hell, and now he's given us a new destination, that of heaven. We've been found and we have a Savior. We were once spiritually dead, and now we are spiritually alive. Again, we were on our way to hell. Now we're on our way to heaven. And this new birth, we, again, may not be able to explain it all. We don't know how God does it. We just know that he does. And the bottom line is, what Nicodemus needed to do is the same thing that you and I need to do as well. And that we need to, want to encourage you to trust Jesus Christ as Savior if you've never done so today. And at the same time, you need to realize that as the Lord's saying, this is what you need, this is a decision you need to make, there's somebody else out there saying, nah, you don't want to do that. And Satan is still around, okay? He's been calling the shots in your life up to this point, whether you realized it or not. He doesn't want to lose his grip on you. And so, yeah, one of these days we'll do that. You know, tomorrow, next week, next year, after you've done this or that or the other thing. Put it off till later. You know, it's how many people are going to end up in hell because they heard the gospel and they think, one of these days, you know, I might consider doing that. But they never got around to it. And or it can be pride. I don't want to admit I'm a sinner. You know, that sounds pretty bad. Well, that's what the Bible describes us as. He's the doctor, spiritual doctor. He knows our condition. And so, again, this is not a Baptist thing. Oh, well, that's what the Baptist church teaches. No, this is what the Bible teaches. You pick up your Bible and you read those same verses, and it's going to tell you the same thing. And so he's, as Nicodemus was presented with the truth, we've been presented with the truth here today, and now the decision is up to us, okay? And so if you're here today or you're listening and you've never been born again, you've never trusted in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, you need to do that today. Don't put it off, because you don't know how long you have. And we need to be ready whenever that time comes. He's the only way that can wipe the slate clean. He's the only one who's able to cleanse away our sin. He's not just going to cover it up. He's not just going to call it by a better sounding name. But he's going to cleanse it away and give us that gift of eternal life. And so if that's your desire, I'd encourage you to trust Jesus Christ alone for salvation. We're going to sing a song here, a familiar one that you've probably grew up hearing, just as I am. And that's what the Lord says, just as I am. You know, he didn't say, go clean up your life, get rid of all your bad habits, do this, that, and the other thing. No, he said, you come to me just as you are, and we'll take it from there. He'll cleanse us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the salvation that you provide through your Son, the Lord Jesus. You just didn't tell us you're lost, you're headed for hell, and there's no hope for you. You know, he gave us a way of salvation through his Son, the Lord Jesus. And Lord, if there be one here today that's never trusted Jesus Christ, that they might call out to you today, even as your word tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Someone here today, someone listening, that say, that's what I need. Would you just pray this prayer with me? It's not a magic prayer. You can pray your own. But you would say something along these lines. Dear Heavenly Father, I realize I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And the best way I know how, I want to trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior today. I believe that he died on the cross for me, that he shed his blood on that cross for me. He's the one who's able to cleanse away my sin and give me that gift of eternal life. Help me to live from this moment on for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn with me in your Bibles, in your hymnal, if you would, to 342, just as I am. Find that when you stand with me as we sing this. I want you to talk with you, pray with you before you leave here today. It won't take long, but we just want to share a few verses with you. Make sure you understand the decision you're making. It's something you need to make once, okay? This isn't something you need to come back next Sunday and do it all over again, all right? And the Lord's going to write this down. Put your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there's no eraser for that. Just as I am. Let's sing this. Thank you.
only be sending out a prayer request for this, so it'll be a duplicate for you, but Gail just told me here something we can be praying for Tuesday?
Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. Going in for some outpatient surgery, but sometimes doctors say, oh, it's minor surgery. It's minor if it's them, but it's major if it's them. So we'll pray for Gail here now, but do pray for her tomorrow too. So, all right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the provisions that you make for us for eternity. Eternal life. Pretty awesome. And yet, it isn't just, well, when you get up here, I'll take care of you. He promises to watch over and care for us here and now. In a special way, we ask that you might undertake for Gail as she goes in for surgery tomorrow. Pray that you give the doctors and nurses, others working with her, the wisdom and skill they need to perform this operation and do it right the first time. Pray that you guard her against infection or other potential problems and a good recovery from that. We thank you again for your watch care, for your give us safety as we travel to our homes. And we'll thank you now for Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for coming today. God bless you.